Welcome to the Product Podcast by Product School. Here's a preview of today's talk.
And so it starts with self-evaluation. So skills can be looked at in many different ways. Some can be technical, some can be some soft skills that you'll need to refine. But it's really important that you understand what are some of those gaps. And by doing so, you can solicit feedback from friends, coworkers, your stakeholders that you've been adding value to. I think if you're able to connect with them and so that you can understand what are some of those skills gaps or what do you see as opportunities for more to be more effective, it's important to get that type of feedback. Also, you want to plan out your personal development roadmap. And so your roadmap can effectively be sliced out in quarters. Similar to, you know, for publicly traded companies, you have your quarterly earnings report. Same thing for you. You want to have a readout of what are your core comps and what are some of the opportunities that you see with regards to your skill sets.
In this podcast, we teach our listeners valuable lessons about product management and transform them into thinking like a product manager. We teach product management, coding, data analytics, and blockchain in 14 campuses worldwide, including San Francisco, New York, and Seattle. You can find more information at productschool.com. Join our Slack community of 25,000 professionals to network and stay tuned for our upcoming events.
So that's me. So I'm essentially talking about a topic that's very a deep passion of mine and something that I hope that can resonate with you. So throughout this presentation, if you find that something that you want to double-click on or you want to elaborate further, feel free to contact me during the conference. I'll be around. But if you're unable to get in contact with me, I'm available on social via Twitter as well as Instagram. And so I'll start with a mission statement that it was curated over time. And so just to give you a bit of background that you may not have seen on my LinkedIn, I'm a Caribbean American. My parents both served in the military. So you think about having a purpose, those were two individuals that exemplified that. And so by virtue of my childhood, you know, I had to adhere to a lot of sort of schedules, chores, things that were very relevant in the military. So, and I moved around a bit. In addition to that, my parents used to send me to my other sides of my family during the summer. So I used to split my summers between my mother's side of the family and my father's side. Why am I mentioning this? I'm mentioning this because they instilled a sense of community early on in my childhood. So traveling to different parts of the country, being with different parts of the family, it taught you a sense of community. And as an only child, it was essential and it provided a foundation for what my personal mission statement is with respect to product. So secondly, understanding the company business model. Why that's important is that as a product manager, different businesses are going to require different skill sets based off of their business model. If it's a B2C company, you can think that you're probably going to be focused around consumer-driven or consumer experiences. Where if it's B2B, you're figuring out what are some of the pain points that a business is facing and creating tools and services to help enable them to create a better business for their clients. I think what you'll see as a trend in tech is you're starting to see companies being more involved in communities and doing projects and initiatives that helps uplift the communities that they serve. So I think it's important that when you evaluate a company, it's important to understand what's their involvement in the community and does that truly align with what you have envisioned for yourself and what you want to be involved in. And then finally, being your authentic self. I think we've all been in situations where we may have felt that we couldn't bring our whole self to the office. But I think it's important that as you're evaluating a company, that you can truly be authentic and truly be a great servant to your team. And by doing so, the company providing you that runway to truly be yourself. No, you're probably wondering, like, what does that actually mean for, you know, what does that mean for your actual role? So once you've selected a company, it's taking those principles and applying it to the consumer experience. So what that means for a consumer experience is once you've selected the right company, you need to have an insatiable desire to delight customers. And so once you understand what the company, how the company makes money, their purpose, it helps fortify what you're looking to build for consumers. And by doing so, you're going to start to understand how to build great system models of the software components. And what that actually means is having the understanding of what sort of building blocks do you need to have in place in order to create your full end-to-end product. In addition, you'll start to design interaction patterns that a human can actually touch and feel, and you'll be able to create an experience that's delightful to consumers. So understanding how all the software components are constructed, how that tailors into the consumer experience is going to be critical in terms of purpose-driven product development. And in order to do so, some of my former students are out there, and current students, they're very familiar on understanding cognition. Cognition is very important when you're crafting a consumer experience, because it really delves in deep into how we learn, how we make decisions, how we read, how we write. And the fine gentleman down in the corner, Don Norman, the author of Design of Everyday Things, which is a book that I highly recommend, he's responsible for building out some of these design principles and concepts. Specifically, the types of cognitions that humans go through each and every day is experiential, is how we perceive and act, and then reflective is a thinking, comparing, and reflecting on life experiences in order to make decisions. And so with some of the design principles, some of the key design principles that Don Norman spoke about talks about affordances. Affordances is important because it helps consumers understand what's possible in the experience. So a common example would be tabs in the web browser. So tabs affords us an opportunity of segmenting content within the web page. Signifiers, it ensures discoverability for your UI components that you're building into your product. So you could think about a sign-up button within the registration experience. Mappings is, have you ever noticed that when you walk into a room with several light switches, not necessarily knowing which switch is associated with which set of lights? That's where mapping comes involved when you're mapping the UI in relation to some of the expectations of a consumer. Constraints is also very important when you're applying design principles. So constraints allows you to have those conversations with designers and engineers to ensure that when they're crafting a solution, that they have those constraints in place, whether they be logical, semantic, or even cultural. Feedback. I think we've all been in a situation where we've been using an application and something we thought we were going to pay for an item or good, but we never got the feedback that action was actually completed. And so that's where you build in proper feedback loops back to the consumer to allow the consumer to know what's next or what has happened, and giving them the understanding that an action has been completed. Discoverability is also very important. This is particularly important when you're introducing a new product into the market, and you want to, if you want to deviate from common design patterns, you want to build in a conceptual model that consumers can actually discover the desired actions that you want them to perform on your product. And then finally, your conceptual model. The conceptual model is essentially the building blocks on the consumer journey. So when you're thinking about building out your experience, think about the full end-to-end consumer journey that you're crafting. Now, what does that actually mean? So those were concepts that are applied in the design community, but those are actually concepts that actually can be applied to your day-to-day role as a product manager. And so what we're essentially alluding to is understanding the triumvirate. And so I actually borrowed this from a podcast that I've heard a couple weeks ago, and it's really a group of three powerful or notable segments within a company that's responsible for bringing a product to life. So as a product manager, it's important to have empathy, not only for your consumer, but also for the teams that you work with. So when you're collaborating with the design team, it's important to understand what are some of the consumer constraints that the design teams are facing, and how that can parlay into the features or what you actually prioritize in your roadmap. Secondly, when you're working with engineering, it's critical that you understand what are some of the technical constraints that engineers are facing, whether that be resources, code quality, infrastructure. Those are things that you need to take in consideration when you're building out your roadmap as well. And then finally, from a product strategy perspective, it's incumbent upon you to understand what are some of those challenges that's preventing what is some of the drivers for the product strategy and how that actually folds into your roadmap. And so by understanding the triumvirate, you start to understand some common patterns or common needs across those stakeholders, and then that can help you be more effective as a leader, as a servant leader, because as a PM, I think we all know that this isn't a role that is managed through authorities, through influence. And so by understanding the needs of the triumvirate, you can be very successful in terms of getting things done and also empowering the people that you work with to work in flow and to build software designs that really adheres to what you're actually set out to bring to market.
If you have enjoyed the episode so far, check out our upcoming live events at productschool.com/events. Use the promo code PRODUCTPODCAST in all caps to get a free ticket to the next event in your city.
And so, by doing so, you want to understand the patterns of value creation. So as a PM, you know, we're essentially making decisions through influence. And so we can't influence unless we actually know what's valuable to the stakeholders that you work with. And then by understanding the value creation, you want to create a customer profile of your stakeholders. So the same concept that you would apply for creating a profile for your target customer segment, you would create the same for the stakeholders that you work with. And then what you'll start to see is that you'll start to see common threads or themes, rather, that your stakeholders are essentially looking for. And then what that will look like is then you start creating a value map for your stakeholder segment. And then you also want to avoid wasting time on things that don't work. So there may have been a time that you worked with a difficult stakeholder or a stakeholder that, you know, it was tough to influence or tough to get a decision made. And so these are just some techniques to help fortify your position on where to take the product next. And so you could probably associate this with the value proposition canvas for those that have taken product school or are familiar with how the value proposition canvas is constructed. These concepts align very closely to that canvas. And so what you want to understand with your stakeholders is what's the desired outcome or benefit to your stakeholders? And understanding, also in addition, is you want to understand what are some of the risks or bad outcomes that your stakeholders can face. And then ultimately, you want to understand the customer jobs. So in product design, we're
we have an intense focus on the type of jobs that we want to fulfill. And so without having context or understanding of those jobs, it's going to be very difficult to deliver value to your customers, but as well as to your stakeholders. So understanding that will help you navigate those conversations and make more effective decisions with regards to having their jobs in mind and understanding how what role that you can play in order for them to flourish and to do their jobs more effectively. And then finally, so what we're also looking at is once you've created a profile, you want to sort of lay out what's your value map. So you look across your design, engineering, and product segments. You want to understand, in your capacity, how can you create value for them? Also, by creating the value, what are some of the pain points that you were relieving by virtue of those solutions that you're crafting for your stakeholders? And then ultimately, what are some of the skills that you can offer? And so that's also part of being a servant leader, is understanding how can you add value to others so that in the future, when you need them, they can essentially assist you on anything that you need to have delivered or anything that you need assistance with. Because in our roles as PMs, you know, we're effectively facilitators, and we need others to align and to assist us in order to deliver a valuable product. So always keep that in mind when you're looking at your stakeholders and how to engage them. And if you're working with stakeholders or even stakeholders that are new to the company, how do you get them involved in the decision-making process so that it doesn't come off as your decision alone? It's an effort to align the entire organization on making these decisions. And so now, so you're probably wondering, like, why do I have a laptop and books? I also feel that along your product journey, there's going to be instances where you just feel that there's something missing. There's something missing in your skill set. There's something missing with the way that you're able to deliver value. And so, what you want to do is assess your personal skills gap. And I think as a PM, you're always going to be a continuous learner in your industry, continuous learning in the products that you deliver, the types of technologies that you use. And given that technology is moving at such a rapid rate, a lot of things that you're learning today will be obsolete within a year or two from now. So it's incumbent upon you to always reassess your skills and to identify those opportunities to level up in your industry. And so it starts with self-evaluation. So skills can be looked at in many different ways. Some can be technical, some can be some soft skills that you'll need to refine. But it's really important that you understand what are some of those gaps. And by doing so, you can solicit feedback from friends, coworkers, your stakeholders that you've been adding value to. I think if you're able to connect with them and so that you can understand what are some of those skills gaps or what do you see as opportunities for more to be more effective, it's important to get that type of feedback. Also, you want to plan out your personal development roadmap. And so your roadmap can effectively be sliced out in quarters. Similar to, you know, for publicly traded companies, you have your quarterly earnings report. Same thing for you. You want to have a readout of what are your core comps and what are some of the opportunities that you see with regards to your skill sets. And then you want to strategically execute on those skills. A lot of you here today are leveling up in your industry by showing up today. Congratulations. I mean, this is the first step into kind of looking into what's the broader scope of the product industry and what to sort of double down on or double click in order to, you know, achieve where you want to be in the future. And also just practice. This is a situation where you're always attempting to refine your craft. And so kind of my story of how I got into product by way of being a founder of a company. I've spent 6 years at J.P. Morgan as an engineer, as Brad had mentioned. But I just had a desire of building products that consumers can actually touch and feel. And so my journey was, I'm going to just build my own and treat it as my product, as in sort of validation that I am able to be a product manager, and here's the reasons why. And so by doing so, it helped create an opportunity of working at the education tech startup. And so what I'm trying to relay is, you know, there's always going to be opportunities to refine your skills, and it's really up to you to really hone in on those skills that you see opportunities in and continue to practice and to really be holistic in your product journey. So you may want to look at design, may want to look at, you know, public speaking, may want to look at coding, you know, or just getting some exposure to coding, because you don't have to necessarily know all like the full, you don't necessarily have to be a full stack engineer to add value, but just knowing how software works is going to be immense in terms of the value you can actually add to teams. And this is just my own personal roadmap. So maybe a surprise to some, but I definitely had a fear of public speaking. But you know, that was something I felt like that was important in order to influence and to drive decisions in a boardroom setting. So you could certainly fortify your skills around that. Business acumen, you know, if that's something that you feel like you're a little weak in, I know a lot of folks in here have technical backgrounds. Sometimes that's not always a conversation we're involved in as engineers. So in order to level up, you know, picking up some business books or doing case studies, there's plenty of resources online where you can actually, you know, you can actually perform some case studies and get feedback. Interaction design, you know, sometimes as an engineer, you can build great system models, but not necessarily the most intuitive interaction models. So understanding the interaction model and how that ties into your software components is going to be critical as you try to transition into product. Also, mobile development. This is also a foray into building solutions for the mobile experience. So those were sort of my opportunities and what I've identified as some of my skills gaps. And so hopefully this was an opportunity for you to maybe to be inspired or to at least to identify what are some ways that you can be effective as a product manager, but also with a purpose. So tying back into some of the core concepts, you want to select an environment which you can flourish. And so for you personally, understanding what are those sort of traits of companies that really aligns with your core values. And you want to build a relentless desire to understand customer empathy, not only the customers that you serve out in the market, but also your stakeholders that you serve internally. And then understanding the needs of the triumphant. So understanding how design, engineering, and product works in order to make effective decisions. And then finally, you want to embrace your skills gap and constantly build a roadmap to level up. And then all this sort of rolls up into how to be a servant leader and to walk into the office and to sort of live with a purpose and institute purpose-driven product development. And with that, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Product Podcast. If you liked this episode, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes. If you want to know more about our courses and next course, visit productschool.com. Stay tuned for the next episode to learn more about the secrets in product management.